The final episode of Moon Knight Season 1 is upon us. Does it stick the landing or fall short like nearly every other MCU Disney Plus show? My full reaction and review coming up right now on 15 Minutes of Marvel.
There was an idea.
Because if we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
I can do this all day.
What are they called again?
Anulax batteries.
Harvey Larry batteries.
As far as I'm concerned, that's America's ass.
I control the truth! Mysterio is the truth!
Boom. You looking for this?
What is up? What is up? And welcome back to 15 Minutes of Marvel, the only podcast that gives you Marvel reviews, news, and rumors in pretty much 15 minutes. I'm your host, Ethan Simi. Today on the pod, I'm giving you my full review of Episode 6 of Moon Knight, the Season 1 finale. Will there be a Season 2? Yet to be determined. We're not quite sure, but I do find it oddly suspicious that there was promotional footage released prior to this episode that said series finale. It was edited, republished, re-uploaded to say season finale. So I don't know if that's Marvel Studios just toying with us, just saying, look, it's not the series, you never know. But we don't have an official confirmation. We did not get a post-credit scene like Loki saying there would be a season two officially. So anything is possible. Season two, we don't know. Season one, it's in the books. Here it is. But before I break down the awesome episode, as well as that post-credit scene, because, boy, I have thoughts on that post-credit scene. I have thoughts. I'm going to save them. I'm going to save the thoughts. I'm not going to tell you if they're good or bad thoughts until we get there. I do have a couple quick news bites for you. Number one, Zac Efron has said that if the right character comes along in the MCU and they want him to jump in, he would gladly take up that opportunity. Now, as you all probably know, I am not good at fan casting. I'm very, very bad at fan casting. So I have no idea who Zac Efron could play, who he would play, who he would be good at playing. I'm not even going to try to fan cast him in something in the MCU because I just can't do it. It's just not my strong suit. He is in a new movie this month, Firestarter. It's the remake of the 1984 Drew Barrymore movie based on a Stephen King novel of the same name. So he's at the box office. He's making movies. He's starring in movies. He hasn't really been in a lot of big things recently. Probably the last like big moment that he was in was The Greatest Showman. So I wouldn't say like he is not particularly like, damn, if we get this guy in the MCU, people are going to show up. I don't think he is like a Harry Styles in that fashion. But I do think he could benefit the MCU. I do think he has kind of a niche fan base. Who would you like to see Zac Efron play in the MCU? Tell me why he should be or should not be in the MCU. I'm very curious to know what all of you think, because I think it'd be kind of cool. I'm pro. Like, I'm not saying, yo, Marvel, offer this guy a contract right now, but like, I'm pro. You know, if he shows up, he shows up. Like, that's that. News number two, Multiverse of Madness currently sitting at a 79% on Rotten Tomatoes from 155 reviews. This, of course, is only from verified reviewers who have seen the movie early. The worldwide premiere was 2 days ago now. People were having a good time. I've managed to stay spoiler-free. I've remained spoiler-free throughout this entire time, and I've got just over 24 hours to go until I see the movie. So I'm hoping that I can stick to spoiler free. But again, 79% on Rotten Tomatoes. So if that score means anything to you, there it is. I've told you the score. I wouldn't read too much into it, as obviously it's going to change as, you know, the weekend goes on, the movie officially comes out, more critics have a chance to see it, to review it, to write about it, and then we'll get an audience score as well. So 79%, I wouldn't really freak out about that, good or bad. I think a lot of the initial reviews are generally positive. A lot of people saying that this feels like a Sam Raimi movie first and a Marvel movie second, which I'm pretty excited about. I think that is really cool. A lot of the negative reviews coming saying it is a messy movie. Of course, yeah, it's gonna be a messy movie. It's the multiverse. What do we expect here? So I think taper your expectations going into Multiverse of Madness. If you don't get that one character you're really hoping for, it doesn't mean the movie as a whole is a bad movie. But, you know, gear up and form your own opinions about this movie. That's what I would say. Let's talk about Moon Knight. Let's do this. Moon Knight era is over. Maybe we've reached the end of season one, and the Moon Knight era has been something truly, truly special. This episode saw a massive battle, not just in scale, but like actually in physical form. Massive battle between Amit and Khonshu. It was really getting the Godzilla versus Kong vibes there. And like that's a compliment. That is a high form compliment. That's high praise right there, because I thought that movie was sick. I thought this was pretty sick. I liked it. I could easily see how someone would be like, nah, this is no good. Like, we're just having two giant CGI gods battle each other in a Marvel show. Like, this is no good. But I'm here to tell you, no, this is very good. This is very exciting. Godzilla versus Kong vibes. And I like that a lot. We saw the transformation of Layla into an Egyptian superhero. I'm going to be talking about that a lot because I fucking loved that. I thought that was sick. We're going to talk about it. And the official introduction of Jake Lockley in the post-credit scene. Let's go through this episode together. An absolutely wild episode. We're just going to go through. I'm going to give some high-level thoughts. We're going to talk about some moments. Try our hardest together to keep this under 15 minutes, around 15 minutes, under 20. We're not sure. I don't know. I have a lot of bullet points that I'm trying to hit here, and I feel like I'm vamping and stalling because there's just so much to cover here, but let's dive in. High-level thoughts. I thought this was a super strong final episode to a Disney Plus MCU season or show. Yes, it is heavy on CGI. It never felt forced or overdone or unnecessary to me, quite like the WandaVision finale did. And I did think that this episode possessed a certain thematic focus, storyline focus that we just didn't get in things like The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, that just like didn't have in the final episode. And more of an aimless wandering that the other shows had, I felt like this show did not have. So I think two pluses right out of the gate to say that I thought this was a pretty strong final episode. Opening song. Loved the opening song to this. As soon as the opening song hit, I was like, this episode is going to slap. Here we go. We're going to do it. Because if you listen to my episode 5 review of Moon Knight, you will know that anytime I get a song that plays through a credit section or a part of the show into another credit section or another part of the show, I love that. So in episode 5, we got Mark at the Field of Reeds finally being there after saying goodbye to Steven, all of these monumental events happening. We get this incredible Spanish ballad that starts to play, takes us into the post-credit scene, tells us the tone and the feel of this moment, and says, this is how you're supposed to feel, and this is how you will remember this. And it stuck with me. This episode starts with something similar. It starts with a song and pushes us into the episode. I just want to mention the lyrics real quick. It says, at the end of the rainbow, you'll find a pot of gold. At the end of a story, you'll find out it's all been told. But our love has a treasure our hearts can always spend, and it has a story without any end. How does Marvel find these songs that are so perfect for this show, so perfect for the moments that they end up creating? I am genuinely curious about what that process looks like. So if anybody knows anybody that works for Marvel Studios that manages coming up with this music and finding this music, I would love to have them on the pod. I would love to know how they find just absolute stone cold bangers to put in all of their stuff. Yeah, I just love it. I just love it so much. It's a great way to open this show. A key strong element here, another one, is that the finale had some really deep thematic storytelling. I didn't feel like it was brushed aside for the sake of big battles or an explosive ending, which we got. I felt like we did get big battles and we got an explosive ending, but it felt purposeful. It felt needed. It felt justified. We have this incredible juxtaposition that I want to talk about real quick, because I think this is a very important thematic core to this show. We get this juxtaposition when Amit is essentially, you know, presented as this big alligator goddess with Harrow and his followers and her followers, Amit's followers, obeying blindly, ready to do anything or support her cause, saying, I am ready to be judged. I will accept whatever the scales hand me, whether it be good or bad. We are here to do your bidding blindly. We set that against the release of Khonshu by Layla and her immediate distrust in this god. A god that is on the same level of Amit, mind you, an Egyptian god that is still reveled as a god. She knows what Khonshu is capable of, what he has done to Mark, how he has made Mark's life a waking nightmare, and she wants no part of that. She does not want to become his temporary avatar for that reason specifically. I think these two events happening in simultaneous timelines and time frames and happening together is a great way to storytell. It's a great end-to-end storytelling of power and leadership, but it also harkens to one of the more broad themes of this show, which is choice. And I think choice is at the core of this show. High level, you've got Mark that has a choice to be Mark or Steven, right? You have Layla that has a choice in whether or not she wants to pursue a life with Mark, even though he has created Steven, or if she wants to choose to leave that life. Everything comes down to a choice, and choice has been present in this show from the very beginning. It's something that is important on all fronts for all of our characters and is deeply rooted, again, in Khonshu and Mark specifically. I do want to jump ahead really, really quickly to two specific moments for this that encapsulated this theme of choice so well. And then I've got some other moments to talk about for the show. But I think it's important for us to understand this show is more than just a very cool, rather obscure MCU character coming to life on the screen and coming to life in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's more than fighting. It's more than Egyptian mythology or ancient gods. It's more than that. It is deeply rooted in our ability as human beings to consistently have a choice. This first scene, when Amit and Khonshu are fighting, and when they're giants, again, very big Godzilla versus Kong vibes, and I was a fucking fan. Love to see that. Amit says that they want similar things for this world. Khonshu condemns those who choose evil, right? And Amit does the same, but doesn't allow the person to choose evil, does not allow the person to act on that evil. She prejudges them, thus revoking their choice, their ability to have a human nature of choice. The second scene is when Moon Knight has the opportunity to kill both Hera and Amit living within him, essentially at Khonshu's recommendation, right? So this is towards the end. Khonshu says, if you don't kill them, they will both survive. You need to kill them both. Instead, Layla says, Mark, you have a choice, and he does not do it. He tells Khonshu, you need to do it yourself. This constant recentering of choice and how crucial and important having a choice is in our cores, in our souls as human beings, is something that I think the show tackles really, really well. And I was really pretty impressed with its ability to continue to harken back to that, to use it as its foundation, as its centerpiece for a lot of the storytelling that we got in this show. And I think that is something that is important to remember. Got a few other things to talk about. Going over time, and I know it's going to happen, but here we are. We're living Moon Knight together. The moment that Mark leaves the field of reeds to rescue Steven, I thought that was really special. I thought it was impactful. And Tawaret mentions that this is the piece that he always wanted and never had. Yet, he chooses to leave, knowing he can never come back. She explicitly tells him, you cannot come back once you leave. He still makes that choice. Again, he makes the choice to leave the piece that he never knew in order to go save Steven. And the reason that this is so important, the reason that this is so powerful, so emotionally binding as two characters and also as a viewer of this story, is that he mentions one thing. Mark says one line to Steven here. He says, I survived because I knew I wasn't alone. the way that this line is delivered, the swell of choral music, the moment where Mark knows that had it not been for Steven, he would not have survived any of his life's happenings to make it to this point, is so emotional. It's so perfect for a final episode like this. And it shows us just how important the two of them are together. They are one and the same. Yes, they are two polar opposites, but really, they are one in the same. Lots of really good, deep storytelling in this show, and it's something that I could just continue to go on and on and on about. I thought this episode did a pretty slick job of blending both Moon Knight and Mr. Knight. I thought that was a pretty cool thing in unison, really. When Mark meets Khonshu again and Mr. Knight comes out to negotiate, and again, later during this battle that we get with Harrow, where Mr. Knight doing some hand-to-hand combat, which, again, I thought that was a great kind of intersection of CGI, mythical, magical, and hand-to-hand combat with Harrow. He gets thrown into an alley. Who comes out of the alley? Moon Knight. Thought that was pretty sick. I was like, yeah, this is pretty cool. One call-out, I would have loved to see more Moon Knight during the show, more Mr. Knight during the show. The show is called Moon Knight. It is not called Stephen Grant. It is not called Mark Spector. It's called Moon Knight. So I thought that would have been cool. Let's talk about Layla, because holy shit, this was super freaking cool. I was a huge fan of this. I really, really was. Layla's a freaking Egyptian goddess, people. Layla is an Egyptian goddess, and it is clearly said to us, are you an Egyptian superhero? And she says, yes. Yes, she is an Egyptian superhero. The reveal of her swords and the wings was fucking sick. It was very cool. It was truly some epic fighting, some really cool stuff. And not just all that, like not just the reveal. Like I had no idea that was coming. I don't know if any of you knew, like, oh, Layla's shaping up to be like Tawaret's, like, temporary avatar. Things are going to get pretty cool. I had no clue that that was coming. So I was just open-minded. I thought it was an incredible reveal because the fact that we got a character that we already have an attachment to and a relationship to becoming a superhero right before our eyes is an incredible use of the world that we live in, an incredible use of the characters that we already know. I thought it was really dope, really good storytelling, a smart decision to do this. You introduce a new character in the final episode, kind of gives it this pump of life, but it uses what we already know and uses what we have. I thought Hawkeye was pretty cool with the introduction of Yelena, but that was not a character that we had a connection with because of Hawkeye. We had a connection with her because of Black Widow, and she came into Hawkeye. Layla is specific to this world, to this show, and we got to see her become a superhero. After denying Khonshu for so long, she found a way that she trusted to become a superhero. And her ability to switch back and forth between being Layla and this superhero, and that was really good acting. Really, really fun stuff. Post-credits scene coming up in just a second, I promise. I loved the office scene in the very end. I thought that was very cool. Harrow having blood on his shoes. Mark waking up in his bed only to be chained up again. Really well done. The inclusion of that original first song that has kind of really stuck with this show, has kind of become the mantra, the theme song for this show, really. Great callback. And in my view, this kind of final scene that we get opens the door for us to really believe whatever we want to believe. It doesn't necessarily close a lot of these doors about Harrow or Khonshu or Moon Knight, really. So was it all a nightmare that was fueled by imagination? We get this monologue from Harrow talking about how imagination plays such a crucial and critical role in our lives. Was it a dark reality that he was truly living in, that Mark Spector is actually living in? Has he come to peace with Stephen Grant? I don't know. And I'm curious what other people think. So get at me on Twitter at 15MinuteMarvel. Let me know. But I think it was done in a really good fashion, that it left a lot of doors open. And I think that was fun. I think that full circle connection is really something impressive. And maybe that's why I think this episode did such a good job of being poignant, of being focused, of coming full circle and saying, we're right back to where we were in episode one, but there's been adventure, there's been action, there's been growth, maturity, and love all throughout this adventure. So I think that was a pretty cool thing. Post-credit scene, then we'll get out of here. Jake Lockley. Jake Lockley is here. First, we get this blackout from Moon Knight, which we've seen done prior, and we've been like, oh shit, that was Moon Knight. No, that was our boy Jake Lockley. This is confirmation. 100% confirmation that Jake Lockley coming out to play in the post-credit scene and in the future, maybe, of Moon Knight. I loved this post-credit scene. Very Goodfellas vibe. Very 80s mob movie energy with that silencer on the gun. He offs Harrow from the front seat. He pops him off just like that. Khonshu knows how truly messed up Mark is. He hasn't said anything this entire time, but he then tells us in the post-credit scene, Mark has figured out truly how deep he can go. And he's finally, Khonshu's really finally able to use this side of him, which I think is a pretty cool allusion to something in the future. It's an allusion to how pretty fucked up Khonshu is, like as a god, and how really generally selfish Khonshu is, which we've seen kind of told to us prior. But I think this could possibly lead to a season two storyline, right? With a version of Mark that is explicitly Jake Lockley. Could lead to somewhere else. I really don't know. Harrow is dead. So I'm curious how they might structure a second season or the future of what this character is. We all thought Jake Lockley was coming and Jake Lockley is here. And so I liked it. I thought it was pretty cool in comparison to some other post-credit scenes from Marvel shows. I did think it was pretty strong, right? Like Loki, we just got a season two stamp, which hell of a cliffhanger for sure, but not a great post-credit scene. Hawkeye, Save the City musical. Thought it was actually pretty fun. Not really leading into anything else, right? WandaVision. I like the Darkhold in the magic. We get Wanda searching for her boys. I did think that was a little bit stronger than this one. I think that there are definite power rankings here, and I think Moon Knight is in the upper echelon of these post-credit scenes, but that'll come on another episode, you bet, because there's a lot to talk about there. Overall thoughts on Moon Knight, on the finale episode, before I get out of here, I think the show could have given us a bit more Moon Knight, honestly. It could have given us more Moon Knight persona, more Mr. Knight persona, and it could have leaned into these darker elements a little bit more. It felt relatively tame most of the way through, when the character himself is fairly dark, and this idea and tone of Khonshu is quite dark at its core. And maybe that's why I liked the post-credit scene so much, because it's Khonshu just kind of vibing, like being a badass motherfucker and being like, yeah, Jake Lockley's gonna off you right now with a gun and a silencer. And like, I don't know, maybe that's kind of what I was gunning for some of this. And it could have handled this Judaism aspect slightly better. I did like what I saw with the Shiva and everything around that, but I would have loved a lot more of that. I think that would have been another strong suit that would have added an extra layer of depth to Mark and to our persona and our storyline that we just didn't really get. I think the strong points are the final two episodes that really come full circle in the complete season storytelling. I loved utilizing our supporting characters like Layla throughout the show to have a really successful and impactful outcome when it comes to the end. And I thought Ethan Hawke was great as Arthur Harrow. A lot of things that I liked about this show, some things that I didn't like. So I think it's a pretty good show. Here's my current Disney Plus ranking. Here they are. And I'm sure I will do an entire episode on this another day. But as of right now, as of just seeing this Moon Knight finale, here's where we sit. Number 6, What If. Number 5, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Number 4, Hawkeye. Number 3, Moon Knight. Number 2, WandaVision. Number 1, Loki. I still think Loki is the strongest outing to date for Marvel Television, and I think it's worth noting that people continue to think it does have the best season finale of any show yet, even though it was a giant monologue. And even though it gave us very intense, deep character development, I think that's worth noting. And again, something I talk about a lot, but it is worth noting. So Moon Knight currently sitting at number 3 for me. I think it's pretty good. I think it's pretty good. The Moon Knight era hopefully is not done. It's hopefully not gone away. I'm curious when, if we will get a season two confirmation. And when will we see Moon Knight again? When will Moon Knight show up in the future? Let me know what you think, and let me know what you thought of episode 6 of Moon Knight. I'm on Twitter, at 15MinuteMarvel. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on any major podcast platform. A special shout-out to the patrons of the show, Brandon Clark, Hajir Shakib, Reagan Knapp, Alan Cole Peacock, Ben Lawhorn, Corelli Christina, Mike Zego, TJ Zorich, and Jessica. Thank you all so, so much. I will see you back here next time after I've seen Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Wow. Can't believe I just said that. We're going to have a spoiler-free review coming at you on Friday. It's going to be wild. It's going to be madness. Get ready. I'm Ethan Simeon. Remember, always go higher, further, and faster.